Welcome to the second hour of First Edition here on 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Thank you for joining us or sticking with us for our second hour on this Thursday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That's my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page if you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, and I will share with the people, unless you don't want me to, and I won't. Help us celebrate Black girls who strive to soar above their adversities. We want you to call in with your nominations of women and girls who have magic, Black girl magic. Once a month, we honor Black girls and women who do extraordinary things while facing tragedies, hardship, and misfortune. Is that you, your sister, your auntie, or maybe even your coworker? Well, we want to hear all about her. Call in with your nomination, 410-319-8888, during the hours of First Edition. That's Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m., or email Producer First Edition, spell it out, all one word, lower caps, producerfirstedition@gmail.com. Coming up later in the second hour, it is the infamous, notorious NWA Sports Report, all the usual suspects, NBA playoffs, Natos, all of that, coming up a little bit later. But first, we have a brother in the studio who has put out his first novel. It's called It Takes a Hood. And his name is Norwood Johnson. Norwood Johnson, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Good to see you, brother. So, first of all, you told me that you and your son listen to the show all the time, and that you gathered some of the material for your book from what we talk about. And to me, that's incredible because just like we talk about these issues day in and day out, to me that speaks to how people feel. How people in our community feel, how they feel about what they hear day in and day out about what transpires and happens in our city. But you actually took the initiative to write about it and kind of get it out and talk about it and try to expand the conversation, which I applaud. So talk about when you decided to actually make this happen.
I decided to make it happen during the riots. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to your show, and I forgot the name of the speaker, but anyway.
There was a lot of them.
Yeah, so yeah. One of the guests said that the people have to take the community back, mm-hmm. and they have to put aside the no snitching policy because the drug dealers know that people in the community aren't going to snitch. So therefore they have their power.
Right.
And you know, the dilemma continues.
Right.
So I decided to write a book about two young African-Americans who they're tired of the crime conditions and the senseless murders. And they decide to get the community together and actually be foot soldiers and address the drug dealers and address the drug addicts. And they address them with unconditional love. Mm. They don't walk by them. They don't shun them. They don't look down on them. They start out, you know, it's a slow process, but they start out with a high. Because a lot of times a drug dealer or a drug addict, you know, people just walk by them.
Right.
So they start out, and then eventually they build dialogue.
And rapport
and trust. And then they eventually, even with some of the drug dealers, they talk to the drug dealers about LeBron James and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conversation leads into, well, look, you're an educated young man. You know, you should get out of this business because you're either going to go to jail or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the drug addicts. You know, they approach the drug addicts and they say, well, look, you know, why are you taking the drugs? You know, the drugs are hurting the beautiful person in front of me. And then they, you know, and they just continue with that effort, and they end up cleaning the community.
So let's talk mm-hmm. about the two heroes, Cynthia and mm-hmm. Korea. That's a very interesting name for a young man. How did you come up with the characters, and are they based on maybe people that you know or what?
This book, like with most authors, I've experienced some things. I've seen crime. I've seen drugs. Some of it's direct. Some of it's indirect. I used to work at the downtown locker room, okay, in Church Square.
Okay.
So I befriended, you know, drug dealers. I've seen a lot, you know.
Right.
And you know, one day I would come to work, and I would hear about, well, you know, Hank died. Mm-hmm. And I liked Hank. He was, right, just doing the wrong thing, but he, right, had a lot of potential.
Right.
So you know, just based on my experiences, things that I've seen on television, listening to your show, talking to people, you know, I decided to come up with two young people who make a difference. They're millennials.
Right.
And actually, in the book, Cynthia is Republican. They're lifelong friends. And Korea is Democrat.
Huh.
And because of the toxic political environment out here, uh-huh, I just wanted to show that because you have differences, you can come together and make things happen in your community.
It's fascinating because one of the things you say in your synopsis is that they embrace kind of old school values, if you will, or old, mm-hmm, school foundations for these two millennials. That's an interesting dynamic there, because we tend to view millennials as being, you know, and every generation goes,
right,
through that type of disconnect,
right,
quite frankly.
Right.
But the fact that one is a Republican, one is a Democrat, and they're both black is fascinating in Baltimore. Very interesting.
Yeah, I just wanted to put a little spiel in there and show that it can be done. And I was listening to your statement earlier, the previous segment, mm-hmm, regarding the governor, you know, kind of pushing the
right,
you know, reform. And, you know, he's Republican. So, I mean, that's, you know, unusual, but it goes to show that people can be on the same accord.
Oh, absolutely true. Absolutely true. What in your mind, Norwood, when people hear the stories that we report on day in and day out, not just on this show, but on television and in other outlets, how do you think it impacts our community? I mean, from your perspective, how does it make people feel? Obviously, excuse me, we've been talking about the uprising since, mm-hmm, it began, all,
right,
the implications of it. How do you think it impacts us, our community, as we hear and have to deal with this stuff on an ongoing basis?
Well, it gives society a preconceived ideas, because you get this. I mean, first of all, there's not fair and balanced reporting.
Oh,
so, you know, it becomes subliminal seduction, mm, whereas, you know, people from other races, people outside of Baltimore, they'll tend to look at Baltimore as this really bad place. Mm. But actually, most of Baltimore is okay. I mean, Baltimore is a nice town. You know, there just needs to be more fair and balanced reporting, and people, the media needs to show the better side of Baltimore.
Right, no doubt. And that's part of the reason why we have you in here,
mm-hmm,
because you're doing that type of work, trying to inspire people in our community. Where can they get the book? I'm looking at it. Is that it? Can I hold it?
Yes.
All right. Where can they get it?
They can get it Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay. Interesting.
And my website is www.norwoodjohnson.com.
So you're mm-hmm, a retired federal government, a federal government retiree,
mm-hmm,
and you just decided to this is, how long has this been a passion of yours?
You know, for years. I used to write plays.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm a dual writer. I'm a technical writer, so I can write.
Oh, okay.
If you want to develop an app for a phone, you tell me what you want.
Okay.
I'll write it up and then ship it over to the developer, and the developer will make it happen.
But this is a
that's creative writing.
This is a different pursuit.
Yeah,
this is a different pursuit. Mm-hmm. Morgan State University alum?
Yes, I am. Telecommunications.
All right. Congratulations, man.
Mm-hmm.
Really. People talk about their passion all the time, but never act upon it. But you did, and that's a beautiful thing, brother.
Yeah, thank you. And I just wanted to basically the statement out of the book is, community is not dead when life comes from those within it.
Well,
meaning
you're right about
you have
that.
To have unity to make it happen, and make politicians do their job.
And our community is, mm-hmm, not dead. It is, mm-hmm, not dead.
Yeah.
Norwood Johnson, brother, thank you for coming through and talking to us about your book, and much, much, much success to you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, NWA Sports Report time. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition. Thank you. Welcome to the NWA Sports Report. El Crawfo.
Good.
Gravante.
What'd it do?
Dre's on the phone, so I guess he'll join us soon enough. He's trying to pull up Perry. No Ramos, no Claudette. I think the women are on strike.
Right. And they ain't telling.
We have to carry on. No, he ain't tell us. We have to carry on. Let's just set it out. Perry is gonna be.
He's gonna have a little pep in his voice.
He's gonna be unruly during this segment because, quite frankly, you literally said that his pick of Toronto was a message bought to the masses by hate.
Yes, sir.
Pure hate.
I mean, it was. I think. You know, I could tell, you know, the hatred came because as soon as he went 2-2, you know, he attacked me on Twitter. So, you know, I tried to get on another social media. I see him on Facebook. Who else said? I'm like, this guy, I mean, he's going for it. So
Speaking of this guy, Uncle Perry, are you there?
What happened? I see y'all trying to, what's up with this stuff, man? You trying to start the show without me, man? You know? This is how we doing it now, yo? You bring me in the middle of the segment, man? That's how I go.
We just started the show. We had a segment before this. No, we're not bringing you in the middle of the show. We didn't have a full hour.
I told you. The guns are loaded.
Brandon was there the full hour, huh? Told me 6:15, man. 6:18 now. What's going on? Is this a CP time?
Oh my God! Wow.
Nah, Perry,
see, you know Perry is he favors a conspiracy theory.
Oh yeah,
that's his life actually. So I mean, this fits right into his wheelhouse.
Are we talking about how I got this thing right? Yeah, I think I'm close to getting this thing right than you are, Brandon.
Oh, you talking about the Toronto and Cleveland series? Yeah, you're right. Perry, I will say this. You called, and the funny thing about it is you even outlined on how the games were going to go, you know, on Twitter these past three, you know, with one last night, and then you said how the other two go. So I'm going to let you talk about how you said it was going to go.
Well, before you even do that, Perry, I'm telling you right now, if Toronto wins in seven, yo, me and you are going to Vegas.
Hey,
we're going to get some money, dude.
Get the money right, man.
I'm for real. We going to Vegas and get some money.
Get the flight. I prefer Virgin America, man. You know, I actually watch games flying back on Virgin America.
Oh, for real?
The flight's ready. Yeah, man. They got the TVs right in the back. Your own personal TV, satellite, cable, you know, so... Ooh, get it, yo.
All right, so go ahead. Lay it out, though. Lay it out.
I told you this was going to happen, man. Right. I said, look, it's going to be a tough series. It's going to go seven. But Toronto's going to pull it out, man. Now something happens. There's got to be something. Some springs happen, all right? But I'm letting you know the Raptors are going to pull this thing out. I told Brandon this. Brandon said, well, you know, they're not going to win another game for the rest of the series. I told him.
It's over.
But Brandon, you said they wasn't even going to make it to – you said maybe five. I give them one game, but I really don't think they're going to go one game. I think they're going to go four games. I remember saying that, Brandon.
I mean, I did, Perry. You know, I didn't think – you know, I thought that Toronto would give, you know, one game. I thought they were going to get one game. Cleveland's going to take one game from – you know, I didn't anticipate two. Congratulations, Toronto, but it's over.
Back to back, too. And wasn't like they won two and then lost one. It was back to back. Yeah. Right now, what I tell you, man, it's not a series until one team wins and somebody else's home court. And right now, Cleveland still got to prove that they can go in Toronto and get it done, because I really don't know. You know, you can't put it all on LeBron's shoulders no more, because we see, man, that he doesn't get done that way. He's not going to be able to win it by himself, right? So he needs his supporting cast. But supporting cast players don't always play well on the road. And we've seen that with the Raptors.
But Perry, Perry, I would also say that, I mean, yeah, you're right for a whole series, but trust or believe, LeBron James can win one game by himself. So, I hope it goes, you know, six. You know, and I think it's going to go six. But if it goes seven in Cleveland, there is no way Toronto is going to beat Cleveland at home.
I think you're holding on to the past, man. LeBron James in 2012. So first of all, I don't think LeBron James could ever win a whole game by himself. He always got some help. It may not have come on the offensive end. It probably came on the defensive end. I keep telling people that last year, everybody's sleeping on that roster that LeBron took into the finals. First of all, yeah, they didn't have Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love's offensive arsenal, but they had better players on the defensive end. So they had Tristan Thompson and Matthew Dellavedova, probably one of the most scrappy perimeter defenders in the NBA right now. No, I mean, this dude plays defense like how old Terry Porter and Bruce Bowen used to play on the perimeter, man.
Yeah.
He gets underneath your skin. So, and that takes a toll on somebody like Steph Curry. If you ever noticed, Steph Curry is having a hard time against OKC. They just pushing this dude around, pulling and pushing him. He can't even run around the
also,
without getting scratched. But, you know you light skin, so you know you're getting scratched up, man. You know, my mother's very, very light skin, and you can just squeeze her arm, and she would have a purple bruise on her arm 5 days. You know, so I mean, I'm just telling you, man, he's getting messed up out there. And, you know, so you can't sleep on somebody like Dellavedova. So Cleveland, if LeBron wins and pulls it out, it's going to be because his cast helps him tremendously.
But Perry, I also would like to think I'm not going to put my money on Toronto. Toronto is one of the most inconsistent squads that you'll ever see. And last night, it kind of showed it. You saw, you know, how Kyle Lowry and DeRozan have, you know, 30-point games. Then they come back, and they look like they couldn't hit, the basket. It was Atlantic Ocean.
That's actually consistent of what they've shown us.
Exactly, yeah.
What they do is they take – I think they took a game off.
Oh, no, Perry, come on.
No, look at it. No, because when you look at –
The sponsors are back.
First of all, look at the team stats, man. I mean, the dude, DeMar DeRozan, shot the ball probably 12 times the whole game. Kyle Lowry didn't even have a large volume of shots that game. And that's their two best players, and they weren't getting shots up.
But, Perry,
why
weren't they getting shots? They weren't getting shots off because – Cleveland decided off the pick and rolls to trap hard on Kyle Lowry and DeRozan, which they were forced to give the ball up to, you know, Biombo, Patterson, and the boy
they
Ross.
They trapped hard in game four
They did not.
DeRozan was getting trapped hard, but he has the ability to get himself out of those traps.
But see, they did that down the stretch. You know, they did it down the stretch. I mean, did that, you know, when they went on that big run in the end of the third quarter going into the fourth, they did it. But then down the stretch of the final, like, 4 minutes, they stopped. They let J.R. Smith play him one-on-one. And J.R. Smith got torched.
I remember DeMar DeRozan getting some tough baskets, splitting the double, dribbling around hard around it, making the next pass, and then the next pass after that, and they were able to get a dunk or a layup when it was down the wire of that game. They were going back and forth with Cleveland. When Cleveland first made the run, when what's the kid, Shannon Fry,
6'11",
3-point shooter, made three straight 3-pointers,
yeah,
and took it from double digits and got it down to it was just a 2-3-point game. And after that, they started exchanging buckets.
Yeah.
And that's what Cleveland said. We got these dudes where we want them. They started trapping DeRozan hard, Kyle Lowry hard.
Then they put
made the extra pass.
Then Tyronn Lue.
Then they got dunks, and they got high percentage shots. So it's all that when you're home, you can make your supporting cast
plays better
to make some of those shots.
Yeah, you're right.
Then when you give up the ball, I'm trying to tell you, man. I really think Toronto went into Game Five saying, man, we did what we were supposed to do. We protected home court. We can give up this game rest because we know Game Six is do or die, and we're gonna go out there and give it all we got on our home court. And then when they get to Game Seven. Now it's just you give it everything you got, or you go home.
So I
honestly think, I mean, you guys, I mean, this dude, DeMar DeRozan, man, he reminds me when he's in attack mode. He reminds me of a young D Wade, and I don't think it's a stretch.
I mean, I think it's interesting. That's an interesting.
When I first thought of that, I said, let me Google something, and let me Google DeMar DeRozan NBA player comparison. And guess what popped up on Google, my friend?
Dwayne Wade.
An interview with D. Wade saying, DeMar DeRozan reminds me of me when I was that age. Oh. He plays like how I play, man. He doesn't shoot a lot of three-pointers. D. Wade was never a great perimeter shooter, but he could still get 30, 40 points on you and not take one single three-pointer.
Right.
You know, he has an old-school style of game mixed with some great athleticism. And, I mean, a player like that can take over a game. I expect to see him take over Game 6.
Okay.
And that'll be the difference maker. And Toronto's going to come out with that.
All right, good. So, look, we're joined by our two friends, Claudette.
What's
welcome
up?
Back. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
Ramos.
Hey.
Good to see you. If I had known you were coming, I would have kicked Andre out of your chair.
I've been sick. So haven't been able to be myself, but I couldn't hold on no longer without being in front of the mic, so I couldn't let y'all down. I was coming.
Well, I'm glad you came off the bench. Willis Reed?
Yes.
Yeah. The real Willis.
Whoa, you going back to the New York days?
Not the Paul Pierce impression, however.
Yeah, wow. That's why I gave her the Paul Pierce. Right.
New York ain't one since.
Okay, so Perry has had at least 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we can let Perry go because he's right, man. Because, I was far off. I was all the way off with this. Perry, you get all the time you want with this.
Yeah. But, man, it's a common thing around here. I don't blame you.
I told you.
I don't blame you, all right?
Perry let me have it on Twitter. Then I got on Facebook, and Perry switched over to Facebook and said, who else said it? Who else said it?
He had the eye emoji and looking for people.
I would love to be caught up. Just in case I'm
well, so last week Perry said that the Raptors were going to beat Cleveland in 7 games, and Cravante, El Crawfo, Dr. Dre all laughed at him hysterically. They berated him. And when I looked up and saw that the series was tied 2-2, I was like, oh my god.
I gotta give, something happens not quite often. Sorry, America, if you hear this stuff. I was sick. But anyways, something happens that doesn't happen quite often. Me and Perry agree. And I may not agree on it going 7 and the Raptors winning, but let's face it. The Cleveland Cavaliers haven't got an inch of anybody being even coming close to them in the Eastern Conference. And let it be so that it was the Raptors. Barneys.
Where is
Baby Bob? It was the Raptors. If I could quote you correctly, Cavante, it was sure. DeMar DeFrozen.
Yep. And
Kevin,
I don't know what you have.
Lowry.
And look at it this way. Yeah, they got blown out the other night. However, they were not supposed to. We are the North, correct? In the North. Cleveland act like they didn't know they was in Cleveland no more.
Because they for sure wasn't.
So guess what? You blew them out tonight. You still got to beat them. You still got to beat the other night. You still got to beat them twice. I don't know about 6 or 7, but Cleveland.
Look.
So it's 3-2.
3-2.
Yeah. It's 3-2. And it'll be over in 6.
And I don't do this often. So
go ahead.
This is my old-fashioned El Crawfo guarantee. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that the Cavaliers will beat the Toronto Raptors in Game 6.
I told you. I agree. It's over in six games.
Wait. Hold on. Now, I hear what y'all are saying, but y'all said you guaranteed it was going to be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep.
That was a prediction.
Some of these people in here guaranteed that.
We didn't hear the words guarantee.
I guarantee.
Yeah, we didn't get the guarantee.
We didn't hear the trademark.
Some of the people in this room guaranteed that Oklahoma City would have gotten swept. This is a playoff
that is unpredictable.
And it's all right. Two of the teams that weren't supposed to be there, because Oklahoma City weren't supposed to be the Spurs. Dare I said it? They were going to be Spurs.
I picked that one too.
I picked that too. But Brandon, don't look here, man. Don't start lying, man, because I already put the line already on Twitter. Okay? I tried to lie and say, man, turn it off, bro. I was going to play them hard. I said, I had to catch. I said, man, come on, Brandon. You don't remember saying on the radio show, man, that they was going to need to get swept.
No, I heard you on the radio. You know?
Hey. After I made that tweet, it might have been less than 30 seconds. It looked like Perry was just honking my account.
I wish you would tweet something crazy.
But
you trying to hold on for a couple tweets, man, because you told me, no, that's
No, but Perry, what I meant.
After they was 1-0, man. After they was up one game, I told you, man, one game. You know, you can't, you know, and I told you that they was going to get blown out in game 5.
And to, you know, Perry's credit.
I expected them to get blown out in game 5, all right? But when they go back to Toronto, first of all, you make a guarantee every week, man. What is this? I don't make guarantees. When the NFL season is around, it's a new guarantee every week.
Not every week, Perry. I save them and I make it to a big moment, you know.
Oakland, you've helped us a couple
of
times.
And dare I say it, who wouldn't think that Cleveland was going to come in and get game when they sat 2 weeks?
I mean,
the Raptors just finished the series. They had the longest streak in the playoffs. They went 7 both times.
But Ramos, the thing about the Raptors that allow people to scream, you know, they're going to get swept, they're only going to win one game, is the simple fact that they go through long stretches in any series where they just don't make shots. And they lose. Like the Wizards. Let's take it back to the series with the Wizards. They got swept shooting horrible percentage.
That's not the same Raptors team, though. All right, they got new members.
I gotta take it back, Cravante. You said something that makes sense. We're clicking today.
But
you said something that makes sense. This is a Raptors team that's looking to make a name for themselves in the playoffs. They're searching to find a way how to make in the playoffs and make their name. I think at this point, you said there's no moral victories. They've made their statement. They were not supposed to be there. And if they continue to, if they get one more, if they lose two more. At the end of the day, they found a way to prove that they're not the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh boy,
of the NBA no more.
They ain't been the Cincinnati Bengals in about 2 series now. They're in the conference finals.
Once they beat Miami, that's when we knew.
So there is no perfect in this. Nobody's throwing the game. There's nothing. They've stood up to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and all their excellence. So be it because they played nobody up until this point. Toronto's supposed to be nobody. They played nobody and at least gotten two.
So they did catch a break in that Miami series.
Is the game tonight?
No, tonight is okay.
Okay, tonight.
All right, then let's. But it is 3-2. Yeah. Cleveland's up. Where's the next game?
In Toronto.
Yeah.
And you're saying.
And I'm saying they're gonna win it.
I don't know, man. I say they're going to win
because I mean in the two losses that they had, Kevin Love really didn't show up, and Kyrie Irving.
Right.
It happens.
Right.
Kyrie's very consistent
with not showing up.
And Kyrie Irving just didn't hit those shots that he normally makes. This time in game six, I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
All right.
Listen. I don't know what it is. These boys, they are night and day when they're in Toronto and when they are not. And Cleveland, it's like when they cross the border, it's like they forget. They don't even know where they are.
Well, LeBron shows up. He just needs a little help.
No, game. Uh-oh. What was that? Game and four. Game four. He did not.
He just started Perry up.
You gotta understand the difference, all right, man. Look, everybody fell in love, including Cleveland's own players, with that three ball, and because they were hitting so many threes, I mean, they at a historical rate,
historic pace,
you know, in the first rounds of the playoffs, that was the problem with Toronto and their head coach and how he was strategizing that. He was trying to take away the three-pointer. And that's the reason why they got beat up so badly in games one and games two, because they was trying to take away the three-pointer. And now you got LeBron James, he's not a shooter, okay? If you would let this dude get to the rim, I mean, game over. So what he did is he strategized and made the difference, okay? He made the adjustment, and he started saying, man, you can take those three-pointers. And they started missing them. And then they're not in Cleveland anymore. They're in the tough crowd in Toronto. You got Drake right there yelling in your ear every time. So, you know, it's not the threes weren't draining. And now we're not giving you the layups no more. And this dude beyond ball, man, I mean, for African nation out there, man, you got to be proud of this dude because, man, he blocks. Look, LeBron is scared. I seen one time, matter of fact,
LeBron is scared.
I saw him foul LeBron hard, okay? LeBron got up like he was, like, ready to do something. Then he turned around and saw this dude standing there and said, you know what, nah, it ain't even about nothing. It's all right. You know, he turned around and walked away.
Talk about taking.
That one nothing to do with Biyombo, man. And this dude is the new Dikembe Mutombo. He ain't playing.
Talk about taking. And everybody said Biyombo wasn't even going to leave last long. Talk about Valanciunas goes down. They're like, oh, we ain't got Valanciunas. And guess what? Biyombo comes right in, and they have not skipped a beat. Not only that, people need to take a page out of what people used to do to Oklahoma City. okay, Westbrook and Durant, you'll get yours. They're letting LeBron get theirs when they're in Toronto, of course. They're letting LeBron get his, and everybody else cannot function without him.
Well, Biyombo, I think that was actually an advantage for them. People thought that with Alvarez and Sunez, they were going to be hurt.
It's an upgrade defensively.
Getting more time, it's an upgrade. Like I said, it's the same thing we saw last year with the Cavs. When Kevin Love goes out, you think you're losing a great
putting two
score,
defenders back in.
But then you get Tristan Thompson in, who rebounds, plays great defense, controls the paint. It was the same thing. You lose a great scorer like Valanciunas, but then you get Biyombo, who's ready to come in. I mean, this dude, every time he dunks it or blocks a shot, he's going to Usain Bolt pole. You know, he's bringing out that flashiness, that swag, that Oscar swag. And he's getting the crowd pumped up. I'm trying to tell you, man.
But Perry, let me ask you this. And I'm changing the subject a little bit, but do you think that OKC is going to close it out tonight?
Well, that's what I wanted to transition to anyway. But go ahead, Perry.
I told you, once OKC gets past San Antonio, look, you got to think about something right now. I told you, look, OKC has two of the top three players in the NBA on their roster. And then not only do they –
two of the top three.
Right now, The top three is, first of all, Steph Curry.
So you move Steph Curry down?
Hold on. Let me see.
No, but listen. Listen here, Brandon.
No.
When you're in the top three, right, any given day, it can rotate. You got to put it in no order because when you're in that top three, it's like 1A, 1B, 1C. And one day, the other one is the A. The next day, the other one is the B. Like tonight, Steph Curry, he can possibly come out and show you, I'm 1A.
He's done, man.
Or it could be KD. Or it could be Russ. But when you got two of them on the same team, and then you surround them with a great supporting cast, role players, stick guys, glue guys, okay, that's when this team, OKC was supposed to be 73-9, not Golden State. You know, so now what we're seeing is OKC finally live up to the hype, what they were supposed to be. Coming into this season, everybody was healthy, and they had the right cast. And they had a defensive-minded coach who also has a great mind when it comes to strategizing. That's all he did when he was in Florida, you know, when he was at Florida on a college level. So now you got all the pieces to the puzzle. They were supposed to be doing this. They were supposed to be dominating the NBA. Instead, we saw Golden State do it all year long. So I knew once OKC was able to get past the only person who I know is a mastermind enough
to
mix things up enough to stop a team in its tracks, which is San Antonio. Right. Once they got past the Spurs, hand them dudes the title, man. Because can't nobody stop them. So I knew they was going to take out Golden State. I didn't know which it was going to be 5, 6, 7 games, but it looked like it could go down tonight, man.
Wait a minute.
But it doesn't matter if it doesn't go down tonight. Because OKC is advancing to the final. They can't be stopped.
Ramos, come talk to
me. I hear you, but now everybody's all of a sudden drinking OKC holy water. Because let's be real. There's a lot of people said they were going to be swept. There's a lot of people that said they weren't even going to get past San Antonio. There's a lot of people said that they had no team. They sucked. And they only had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Yet Adams has emerged. Cantor has emerged. Where the heck has Roberson come from? And they have a team. A team that's dead enough to keep, guess who, in Oklahoma City one more year at least, and then he will opt out with his brother at the same time if we can't do it one more go round. So, guess what, America? Now, you have legacy versus a team that's just so hungry to get there that wasn't supposed to be there. And either way, you want Kevin Durant to get one, but you want Golden State to get it too. Because shall I retell the tale of once upon a time of a team that was the Carolina Panthers. It was Super Bowl or bust, correcto? Correcto, exactamente.
For Carolina Panthers?
This season.
I want everybody to kind of sort of Oklahoma, and you're right, Perry. Oklahoma City. I'm not to a degree Oklahoma City. I do not digress in the regular season because Golden State was just on a rampage. But at the same time, Oklahoma City was automatically supposed to have been a threat in the Western Conference. But at the same time, you guys put them down before.
Let me ask this question. But regardless of the dynamic of what Oklahoma City did or didn't do, what the hell happened to Golden State?
No, I'm going to tell you what happened.
That physicality?
Billy Donovan. I think that the fact that Billy Donovan has just, I'm talking about totally 100%, out-coached Steve Kerr. I mean, Golden State, everybody that's been watching Golden State that really, you know, kept up with Golden State will know that Golden State goes through this death lineup where they have Draymond Green playing the center. The fact that as soon as Golden State goes to that lineup, what does Billy Donovan do? He takes out the big Adams and inserts Deion Waiters. Deion Waiters is the X factor in this series. You know, where Roberson has forced his way into being, you know, a contributor. But Deion Waiters, the fact that Deion Waiters could come on the floor and not get, and they're not able to hide Steph Curry. Because Steph Curry, like I told y'all from the beginning, Steph Curry can't play defense.
We know what that's about. You just don't like the guy, Steph Curry.
And that, well, no. He's proven. That's why I can't say Steph Curry is the best player in the world right now, because these past two games, when his shot is not down,
exposed.
He looks normal. He looks like a pedestrian the past two games. That's why I cannot say that, because that's the one thing he has over LeBron.
But let's be real here. This whole series has been this whole pent-up frustration, not frustration, this whole pent-up thing as far as Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. We all know those factors. But the winners of this series are not the guys
Billy Donovan
that are the stars. The guys are Waiters, Robeson, they're Adams, they're guys like Iguodala. Hey, you got MVP in the finals, right? Right, because nobody thought you were supposed to get that spot when you got it. It was supposed to be the MVP that is now in Steph Curry. These type of guys, Spates, where's Spates been? These type of guys have to play.
But see what Draymond Green is, Draymond Green's the type of player, he doesn't play well unless Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are playing well. They allow him to do what he does best, and that's do everything else, put his hands in everything else.
Well,
and the fact that both of them are not clicking...
Well, guess what? This was a guy that was in the top five on the ESPN poll of players that you can build teams around. Hey, Draymond, tell me where to go, bro, just like your commercial say.
Draymond feeds off of Steph Curry, though.
Absolutely.
If Steph Curry and Klay are good, then he's good. And right now, it's just not happening right now.
Go ahead, Perry.
I don't think it's coaching. I got to disagree with you, Brandon. I think it comes down to this OKC having a better team. I don't think Billy Donovan has done
anything.
Let me explain.
Go ahead.
I don't think Billy Donovan has done anything, made any adjustments to show that he's out coaching Steve Kerr. I told you the only way that Golden State can beat OKC is if they start having off-night shooting. And they had off-night shooting. The other night, Steph Curry missed five wide open.
But Perry, I think that's the fact that, you know, Oklahoma City is now taking its toll on Steph Curry. You see them now going through screens. They're holding them. They're hitting them. They're roughing them up.
But that's not strategy, though. That's the spot.
Exactly.
That's not a coaching strategy. That's just you.
It's an emphasis on it.
OKC is getting the superstar treatment that they probably deserve. I remember back in 2012 when they lost to the Miami Heat in the finals, five games, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I remember game one, it came down to the last possession, and Kevin Durant had a baseline jumper and LeBron was checking him in the post. And LeBron took his elbow and shoved it right into Kevin Durant's back. It was a blatant foul.
Kevin Durant didn't
get that foul. LeBron, and he missed it badly, and Miami went on to win that game. And after that game, it was just like a tailspin.
All right.
They was just...
Debunked.
They went down.
All right, boss. All right, I just making sure. I was like, hey.
But thank you, man. Okay, you're trying this. Thank you for catching me.
Yeah, man.
You know, but.
Yeah. Hold on, Clyde.
Let me finish the thought.
Well, please do. Please do.
That superstar treatment now is that we give you.
There we go.
With two of the top stars on their team and a great supporting cast. So now it's OKC has the better team now. It's better teams that's outplaying Golden State. Steph Curry is not making his shot. Klay Thompson not making his shot. Draymond Green not making nothing. And now OKC is making everything. But it ain't got nothing to do with the strategizing and the coaching.
All right, Claudette, go ahead.
I mean, I kind of agree that they lost fire. That's what happened. They were going on, and then once you lose it, you lose it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, Claudette, it's like the old, you know, the old basketball rule. Mm-hmm. If you live by the three, you die by the three.
Yep.
So, but not only that, I think that the OKC actually forces you know, Golden State to lose a lot of their rhythm. They're a rhythm team. Golden State is a rhythm team. Oh, when yeah. they can see when they can see the passes through, and the fact that OKC's length, they can't get those same, you know, passes and off ball screens. Yep. And also, I would say to Perry's point when he says that they're not getting superstar calls. Well, Golden State's not taking the ball to the hole. Nope. You know, if you jump, if you shoot jumper after jumper after jumper, you're not going to get those, you know, 10 to 15 foul call range. Now they get a lucky 3-point shots.
Right.
They're forcing shots too. Yeah. For the first time, we're seeing Golden State not looking like Golden State, where they're actually having to force the shot. Yeah.
They don't have time. They're not getting.
Now they're saying Steph Curry might be hurt. You know, that's how bad Steph Curry's looking at. They're looking for any type of excuse to say,
they're saying,
you know,
he's
oh,
at 70% right now.
Ain't
that
no 70%. He screamed, "I'm back," when he scored 40 on Portland. Well, I think. Or who was it? Wasn't it Portland? Or
yeah,
somebody.
He also scored
17 in overtime, which had never been done.
Yeah, and
so he
screamed, "I'm back."
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's not get the reaching for this unanimous MVP. Let's not get the reaching now. If he's playing a bad game, he's playing bad games. But most importantly, Oklahoma City is killing these guys on the boards. Killing them on the boards. Like, they Bogut, Draymond Green, they look small down there. And Cantor and Adams are giving it to them. Despite Draymond Green's antics, Adams is still there. And he's making a name for himself
now. He's not going anywhere.
So even when Westbrook and KD do miss, they get a rebound, they're getting put back.
But look, they're even making Roberson, who's not even an offensive threat, they're having him cut to the basket. Right. He's actually taking threes with confidence. And if he gives you one or two a game, those are huge buckets.
Go ahead, Ramos.
I've been a huge supporter of Golden State in saying that, you know, unanimous. Nobody believes in unanimous MVP. Nobody believes in the – I think the glitz and the glamour got too much for America. They get sick of the smiles, and they want to see them go down. So if they win this year, they didn't play this person. They didn't play that person. They didn't do this. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. This year, this year would be the last year to kind of sort of shut all those antics down, to say, shut the you know what up and leave it alone. However, I will say this. This is, you can talk X and O's. We can go in between the seams of the offensive boards and all this type of stuff. Yes, that stuff is agreeable. But you have a team that, let's face it, took down Goliath, if it was the Spurs, and the team that everybody said they were not to beat, and the team that has every Hall of Famer within the NBA in it, that just got a whiff of what it takes to say, hey, we actually are the team we've always been, and now we can prove to America in this state that we are.
Okay,
and
so you, the best team
hold up. And you also have this team that, dare I say it, like I said, the glitz and the glamour got to people, and they got sick of them winning, but after a while, kind of sort of felt like they were entitled.
All right.
And I remind you of the Lakers that lost to Detroit and what they looked like when they lost. They did not look like they were used to losing.
All right, stand by. I got to take a phone call. Haleem has been holding on for a long time. Haleem in Baltimore, you're on with the NWA. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. All right. I just want to make a statement.
All right.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead, brother.
My statement is, and I'm going to say it emphatically, there's no team out there that will beat Cleveland in 7 games.
There you go.
Sir, please, come with a better one.
Hey, man, you might be on to something.
He ain't on to nothing.
All right, go ahead.
Here's my question.
Go ahead, brother.
How much did going after the record take in terms of energy?
Huge.
A lot.
Huge.
I think other teams. You saw teams like the Spurs. You saw teams like the Cavaliers.
They backed out. They chilled out.
You know, they started resting players. You know, you saw them resting players for large amount of games.
That's a great question.
But you saw Golden State, who Steph Curry didn't sit those games out. You know, Draymond Green didn't really sit those games out. So you see now, they have played a legit 100 games, you know, I mean, really, really thinking about it, you know, really, you know, for the whole season versus, like, you know, LeBron and KD probably played, what, about 78 or just getting to 80?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that factors in, but, I mean, there were a lot of games where they blew teams out, and you see Steph Curry sitting down in the fourth quarter.
That doesn't count.
That was earlier in the year, you know what I mean?
I blame guys like y'all for that, though, because y'all was rooting for them to go for it. I told man, would it really matter?
It's my fault. It's my fault now. I'm on the coaching staff now. It's my fault. It's my fault.
My apologies.
Sorry. 73.
Sorry, Perry.
Lose and not win the whole thing. I said that. Yeah, I said, yeah, man, it do matter. We want to see. Who wants to see a team go 73-9 and don't win a championship? I don't want to see that stuff.
What's the brother's name?
Haleem.
Haleem. I understand the second part. What you say? first part, I can't hypothesize. Cleveland.
Nice work.
And and it's always Brandon with these philosophical, hypocritical.
Why you take a shot at me?
Because
hypocritical.
Here you go. Here I say it, Cleveland. Listen, people.
That was Cleveland, a
well, Cleveland is getting a test against Baby Bop and Barney right now. The Raptors were not supposed to be where they had to even get two. So guess what? They've exhausted some energy. They've not have spent
and it's over.
14. Yeah, it's over. But they have not spent, so, dare you say it, may or may not
gonna
be.
Get a participation
this playoffs
trophy.
Have been
it's
very.
Over.
This playoffs have been very unpredictable. Hold really? Your tongue, Mr. El Crawford, because it's not fire right
Mr.
now. Two.
OKC.
I will say, Cleveland, when they play the Western Conference, and dare I say it, you can talk about regular season games all you wanted. They got blasted on a Sunday afternoon in Oklahoma City. And guess what?
Blasted on a Sunday afternoon. That sounds like a song.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
It never rains in Southern California neither. And guess what?
And now they're up 3-1.
And guess what? They 3-1. Tell all year, they don't have anybody that's going to be able to play them in the Eastern Conference. It's Cleveland and who else? Their test is the Eastern Conference. They're not going to be able to beat the Warriors. They're not going to be able to beat Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. They have nothing with or without the big three. The experiment is done. And you will see 2-7, LeBron James.
Wait.
Blasted.
As I strolled down the street, and it was you walking in the rain. In your red coat.
I agree with Ramos in this one. Man. All
right.
I don't give Cleveland a shot against OKC at all. I think OKC, honestly,
that's going seven.
Now, see, that's
going seven.
That's
I think.
Five games.
And whose way?
Okay. Five games right there, Brandon.
Was there, then you lost me.
OKC will kind of hurt you on Cleveland, man. Harry. Look, man. And if they don't, man.
That message.
Was brought to you by.
Brought to you by Hayden.
You got to pay the sponsors. Got to sponsors. Got to get paid.
Pay the sponsors.
Sponsors got to get paid, man. I don't like the OKC's matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers at all.
I think they have a better shot now because they've already played the Spurs. If they get past the Warriors.
And then the fact that you have Cleveland.
I don't care what prediction you got. If Golden State was the next 80, there will not be a team that Cleveland can beat in the West. I don't know. Is everybody trying to give Cleveland the championship?
No, I'm not.
I don't understand.
Mm-mm. No,
there's nothing
no,
that
not
they worked for.
It's going seven.
There's nothing that they will go seven. They will lose.
Y'all love but, y'all from
and I mean, everybody will let LeBron James down as they always do in
him. No, he's going to let them down, okay? That's
what he's whatever.
He let Perry down in 2011. Look,
this is what I'll. If Oklahoma City wins this series, I'm going to need the same intensity I'm getting from Westbrook and KD to go at LeBron because every time he plays LeBron, he seems to falter.
But here's the thing, though. Brandon said it was Waiters who's been the X factor in this. So I think it's Westbrook who's been the X factor in this. Because we've seen a different type of Westbrook. He's distributing the ball differently, and he's just been going at Steph Curry like no other. It's almost like he's gone to Steph Curry's house and taken the MVP from him.
Took his family. I see memes.
Ramos, what's your question?
Can I ask you a question,
Dre?
Dare I say it?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Dare I say it?
Wow. Wait for it.
Here we go.
Forget Russell Westbrook. Forget Kevin Durant. Hey, LeBron James, he's in there. Game's on the line. Game 6. When I go home, LeBron passes the ball to J.R. Smith.
Lord Jesus. And he's going to break it. He's going to break it.
And that's the X factor that you need to have. Because guess what? These games are not coming down to these superstars anymore. Yes, they're there. But this playoffs have been nothing but roles and
it's
guys that know
that
how
way.
To play players.
It's always been that
say
way.
What you want about Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has made a career as a coach because he's been a role player of knowing how the dynamic of a team. There's a guy that's on the other side of basketball. We want to talk about coaching that has showed, hey, I got two superstars, something that Scott Brooks couldn't do, but show that everybody else is good enough.
Billy Donovan's wearing them out.
Billy Donovan is.
And Westbrook is wearing out Steph Curry.
You're right, Brandon. It is coaching.
Go ahead, Perry. Go ahead.
I just want to make this one point, man. You got to understand, and I'm right with what you just said. Russell Westbrook is the X factor, right? And he's going to be the Finals MVP. Go ahead and scratch it now. Put it down right now. Stamp it, man.
But Perry.
Listen, man. Listen.
And Kevin Durant's not going to D.C.
You got to understand what type of player Russell Westbrook is.
Let that go.
You let the same.
I'm just saying.
He's going to be matched up against Kyrie Irving. You don't think that's going to bring the animal out of him?
Yeah, it will.
That's the same thing we seen with Steph. Now you putting Kyrie in front of him, and Kyrie ain't no slouch, so he's going
to
come with
it.
But
Perry,
that brings it even more out of Russ, man.
But Perry.
This dude is going to go off.
You know me.
And then you still got Kevin Durant.
But Perry, when you talk about X Factor, I mean, you're kind of talking about the unknown.
I knew
what Russell Westbrook was going to wear out Steph Curry. Because I told y'all since the beginning, Steph Curry plays
defense. Hold on. This was the same Russell Westbrook. What was that, game two, game three?
He's different.
They told him he was shooting too much.
And what he do?
The ball. He had an out-of-body experience the whole first half.
And once he got to make the adjustments
and be himself, now he said bye to his critics. Everybody got on the bandwagon again. You say X factor is not a factor. In that point alone, that everybody doesn't know what he's gonna be.
The turning point was game three. Once he went from a me player to a us player, the whole team changed.
But he's been doing that, like me and Perry been saying. He's been doing that the whole playoffs, though. If you look at him, he's averaging for this playoffs. What is he averaging, Perry, in assists? Russ, where is
he? About nine assists.
It's double digits now.
10 assists, yeah.
Russell Westbrook.
But I think, Brandon,
that's me and you. The average common watcher is still going to think that this is a Russell Westbrook that we've seen from 3 or 4 years ago.
No, not at all.
That's why Ramos was saying a lot of people out there didn't think OKC was a loaded team. They just was ignorant.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
Right.
We know as experts that this team ain't nothing to play with, man.
Nothing to play with.
And he's going to go off, and you still got to worry about a dude that's 6'11", that can come off the screens right around 15 feet, and it's nothing but net every time. I'm talking about Kevin Durant, man.
Mm-hmm.
This dude, it's really nothing.
I don't know who else is 6'11 out there, but
you know. Point, man.
I thought you were talking about Canton.
6'11". He's 6'11". He ain't 6'9", 6'10". Kevin Durant is 6'11". I want to call him 7 feet, man. Yeah.
Give it
this
to
dude
him.
Dude is showing everybody why.
We up his height all the time.
And he does it so quietly, and everybody expects him to be his big superstar. Well, Kevin Durant.
Mama got to be there.
Out of time. El Crawford.
I hope.
Gravante.
The fundamentalist.
Dr. Dre.
Pass, Tim Duncan.
Claudette. Uncle Perry. And Lamos, thank you all for a raucous and informative discussion about the NBA playoffs. Very well done. That's it for us. It's in for NWA and First Edition. It is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by executive producer Sean Yoes, senior producers Bobby Marvin Holmes and Tiffany Ginyard, and associate producer Iorio Digizua. Our board operators are Andre Melton and Autumn Queen. First Edition interns are Delana Swaby, Ariana Walton, and Ariana Harris. Stay tuned for Kay Wise Whitehead as she discusses the politics of music and hip-hop, politics, and then and now. Time capsule. Next on WEAA. I'm Sean Yoes. Peace.